May the divine assistance remain always with us.
Amen.
So good evening.
Good evening.
So tonight let's take a look at tools 37 and 38. They read in the RB 80, refrain from too much sleeping and from laziness. Non somnolentum, non pigrum. Terence Cardong, in his monumental commentary and translation, translates tool 37 as do not indulge in excessive sleep. So on a night like this with the heat and a busy day, we're probably sleepy. And so that's not the sleepiness St. Benedict is really concerned about. In Latin, somniculosus, it means sleepy or lethargic. So we're getting a better idea. Someone who's just very lethargic, lethargy. And in the scriptures, among various places, but in Proverbs, we read or hear the author saying, "How long, O sluggard, will you rest? When will you rise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the arms to rest. Then poverty will come for you like a highwayman, and you will want," meaning for your needs, like an armed man. That doesn't make any sense. "And you will want like an armed man." Well, at any rate, or as an unarmed man, if you're an armed man. But anyway, that's both humorous, but I guess not. Unrealistic. If we spend all our days sleeping, sooner or later we have some kind of issues with just living, right? But also in the Matthew's parable of the 10 virgins, we know Jesus' injunction of staying awake because you do not know the day or the hour, meaning the parousia. Be prepared because the Lord's coming. So stay awake. But in the monastic tradition, we talk about acedia, you know, especially in the Evagrian and Cassian tradition, one of the principal vices. And acedia, which is very common or is the ultimate vice of monks, of those who dwell in the desert, acedia will lead to sleepiness, meaning lukewarmness or recklessness or carelessness. And as we know from John Cassian, acedia bites the most in the middle of the day. The middle of the day. It's interesting. That's when we take our siesta. So in a sense, that's our way of responding or countering acedia. But it's true, at least for myself, I think almost from day one, my years as a desert dweller, that if I was going to get discouraged, it was going to be in the middle of the day. By the time the evening came around, I seemed to be in a better place. But at any rate, you know, acedia, as at least John Cassian describes it, is where we're just tired and bored about everything in the desert, meaning in the monastery, whether that's the community, you know, like the brothers, the work, the food, the guests, or we find ourselves caught in the temptation. It's all a waste of time. Nothing is profiting me. It doesn't do anything for me. You know, I get up in the morning, I keep vigils, I fast, I do my lectio, I come to the divine office, I report for work. But it's not doing anything for me. And that's as John Cashin puts it. You know, well, again, that's the great temptation for monks. And the remedy John Cashin provides with all this acedia or indulging in sleep is don't succumb to the lure of sleep, nor depart from the enclosure, especially on any specious, pious pretext. And how often, as a novice director for many years, but also I think from my own experience, but I'd often hear the novices saying, I could pray better in the parish church. The parish was fervent, you know, and we had this, we did that, and here I can't seem to pray. Of course, St. Elred has a very, in his Mirror of Charity, has a dialogue with a novice saying that very exact thing, that I was much more moved to compunction, I was much more contrite of heart, I was holier, you know, in the world before I came to the monastery. And of course, the dialogue says, "Oh, so you know, you really practiced your discipline as we live it here. You're constantly denying yourself will in so many ways each day." And then, of course, the novice says, "Oh, well, no, I didn't do any of that." In other words, you know, it's easy to be pious, as it were, when I'm all alone in my apartment or wherever I lived and pursue the things I want to pursue, right? Than to give that all up and live under a rule and an abbot. So, but in the rule, St. Benedict, in his chapter 22, The Sleeping Arrangements of the Monks, He knows we're going to be tempted to sleep in. So he says, when the monks rise for the work of God, for vigils, let them quietly encourage each other, because the sleepy like to make excuses. Remember, I used to kind of, I did that for a while. My neighbor many years ago in the cell units, would often be absent from vigils, a solemn professed of some years in the monastery. So I'd knock on the door as I walked by. that didn't really work for too long. Anyway, God bless him. I hope he's in eternal rest. He's in the cemetery anyway. And then furthermore, in chapter 43, entitled Tardiness at the Work of God or at Table, you know, St. Benedict again says, well, monks who arrive late at vigils may be tempted to go back to bed or engage in idle talk. And in both cases, it's an occasion that's given to the evil one. Okay, you've kind of given in to the devil for these kinds of things. But of course, St. Benedict, his emphasis is on this idea of vigilance, of nepsis. Because when we stop and think about it, when I'm sleepy, it means I forget about God. You know, again, it gets back to Matthew's gospel and the virgins, the five wise virgins. You know, so again, we have to ask ourselves, you know, how much sleep do I need? You know, what does nature demand? And we have to discern what the situation calls for. It's not always so easy. It's kind of like food and drink. it should make us uneasy, because some people do need more sleep and some people need less sleep. You know, our horarium provides 7 hours of night sleep and 1 hour of siesta in the midday. These for those who take it. But we always have the night owls for years that would roam the monastery at night. I don't know where they slept, but they just never seemed to need much sleep, you know. So that's tool 37, refrain from too much sleeping or lethargy. And tool 38 is very closely related, because it reads refrain from laziness, which is connected to lethargy. In Latin, non pigrum, which can mean slow or slack. It's apparently connected, at least in the one commentary I consulted, to the words of satiety and idleness. Terence Cardong again translates this, do not be a loafer, you know, loafing about. Again, we have in St. Paul, in his letter to the Romans, he says this. He says, do not grow slack in your zeal, but be fervent in spirit in serving the Lord. Well, the context here of Paul's letter to the Romans is it's mutual service, mutual love in the context of serving the Lord, in the larger context of the community. So when we serve the community, of course, we serve the Lord. And it's basically he's conveying to them how they should approach ministry, the attitude they are called to have. So do not grow slack in zeal. Again, St. Benedict in his chapter 48, the Daily Manual Labor, right from the beginning of that chapter, you'll recall, he says, idleness is the enemy of the soul. And later on in that same chapter, Benedict says, the monks are not to be sad or murmur if the harvest requires the monks to do the labor themselves. Now, that's more than just a literal harvest, where we have to do the labor ourselves, or at least share in the labor. You know, for us, you know, being out, whether it's in the vineyard or an earlier time in the orchards, or today now working in the tasting room, not that we've been doing that for a couple of years because of the COVID, but where we find ourselves in labor or work situations that millions upon millions of people around the world have to do every day, with no choice in it, you know. In a certain sense, we can have a choice. You know, you're not out there like the farm laborers every day from early morning till late afternoon or early evening. You know, or we're not in a factory situation or setting. You know, I remember when we used to have to sort the walnuts, you know, you do pretty much a 2 hour or a 3 hour shift, and you had this assembly line, you're pulling walnuts. You know, and people, some brothers didn't like that, you know. Well, you know what? You know, you may have to be in that kind of work setting for 8 hours a day, just to bring in income to support your family. So we need to keep our work in the context of, not only who we are, but that, you know, we have to share in the aspect of labor that is not always necessarily so wonderful, or caters to our own preferences, you know. But having said that, we know later on in chapter 48, Benedict does urge moderation due to the faint-hearted. You know, so some people will have limits that are legitimate, etc. And then furthermore, in chapter 57, entitled The Artisans of the Monastery, St. Benedict is concerned that pride, dishonesty in the work that the monks do does not creep in, or greed with the work that they do. Because ultimately, as he concludes that chapter, he says, so that in all things God may be glorified. And the Benedictines, at least some of the Benedictines in this country, have caught on to that as a motto. And you see the initials, like at Collegeville, St. John's Abbey, the Latin, I-O, anyway, I-O-U-G-D or something like that, in ut, omnia, something like that, in all things, that's the, anyway, probably it's the ablative, isn't it, but, but in all things that God may be glorified. So, and of course, he doesn't want anyone cheating, because he uses that example of, I don't have it in my notes, but, you know, the case in the Acts of the Apostles, Sapphira and her husband, I forget what his name was, but, Ananias and Sapphira, there you go. So, again, you know, forewarning us of idleness. You know, there's no place technically in the rule where St. Benedict says, avoid too much work. Avoid working too, you know. Yeah, isn't that interesting? It's avoid laziness. And not avoid work. And the Benedictine tradition, I think, overall, we're pretty good about work, I would say. I think every monastery, not just of our tradition, but in the larger Benedictine family, there's all these the debates about the intensity of the ministry or labor, whatever it is, but so it's kind of hard to imagine lazy monks. Certainly we weren't lazy today, and all this week, it would seem to me, everyone was very, very busy, very involved in preparing for the blessing. So refrain from too much sleeping and from laziness.